Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Saturday afternoon, December 15th, show number 83. Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Soultry Radio in the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, DJ Honeycomb. As always, it is good to be with you. Obviously, very, very heavy hearts today, given what happened yesterday and days before and other rulings that have come out regarding human life. Soultry Radio in the Raw, sponsored by the Black Athlete Sports Network, our friends at Blog Talk Radio, WCLM, 1450 AM, Richmond, Virginia, and our colleagues Reggie and Grant and Gang down at Sports Talk, Mix 1080 AM in Buffalo, New York, and my friend and colleague Pat Freeman, the Mighty Oba, and our friends at Guardian Caps, Leon Aaron Hansen, Mike Feely. Today, everybody who's a parent, or who's a godparent, grandparent, any kind of parent, is feeling, well, it's not much you can say. A lot's been said already. Before we go any further, we will not only pay respects for those who left this world so violently in Connecticut, but for everyone else who is a parent, who has lost a child. A colleague of mine who lost his son early on said something that I will never be able to understand, and I understand why he said it exactly the way he did. No parent should ever have to bury their child. I agree with all of that in principle, but the feel, the emptiness that comes when you lose something like that, unless you've lost it, there's no comparing. Having said that, we want to say what we need to say on behalf of the kids. And often the best time to say it is to say nothing at all. Thank you. So as we pay our respects and send those angels on their way, let's get to the crux of the matter, because I really don't want to delve into this with any great amount of time, because it's been glossed over and beaten to death, literally. Yesterday, my colleague Gary Gray on the line. Also, Professor Fred Witted is here. Fred, we're on, so you can pop in when you need to. And Cowboy Reggie, I know you're on remote trying to give us updates from the Winston-Salem game. We're going to go as we roll normally. So, Gary, first of all, good afternoon to you. And I want to get your initial reaction to all of this, because clearly it's a tragedy no matter how you slice it, but there are other aspects to this that are really just making me angrier as I'm sitting here talking. So you go ahead, please.
Well, you know, this whole episode could have been avoided or at least diminished if we had simply dealt with the issue of gun control and people getting guns without certainly thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
We also had the issue of black kids versus white kids.
Sure.
Now, last night, I'm at home, the all the news about the incident in Connecticut.
Right.
And three African Americans in Richmond, California, died that night.
Mm-hmm.
They spent over a half hour on the incident in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 minutes.
And didn't touch on what's home.
Missing. So, again, America telling you folks, you black people don't count. You black people do not. And then we're not interested in you. We don't care about you. So, the we're losing thousands and thousands of black children via guns, and America's doing nothing about it.
Mm-hmm. Look, I say this, because the gun issue has been beaten to death, and I'm not trying to avoid the gun issue.
Yeah.
Where I want to go with this has to do specifically with the lack of journalistic ethics in the presenting of this story. Now, I'm not going to front. When I first heard this story, I was literally driving from a job. I was working yesterday normally, and I turned the radio on expecting to get one of the sports talk stations, and boom, you know, everything about what happened in Connecticut came out front. Now, it wasn't so much that they had switched their feed to specifically cover this story, because we know the sports talk stations make they make a whole lot of money off of this stuff here. And for them to jump in like that and bump a story to go straight into their news desk and report it from their outlet, ignoring hundreds of thousands of dollars in ad revenue, well, you know, that's a big deal. So somebody clearly made a decision from above to say, okay, boom, we're going to roll like this, and that's how it goes.
You know what, I have a problem also with the money involved in this. What I mean is, the reason why those stations, they have it out here in California,
mm-hmm.
It was 8:30 in the morning, right?
Right.
And they turned from WNBC sports.
Right.
Right to the incident, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm thinking, wait a minute. Why are you doing this? You're a sports star. What does that have to do with it? It has nothing to do with sports at all.
Well, that's the whole issue. That's exactly right. They did the same thing on our coast when the station here went to its WABC New York affiliate to take over the feed, and they were giving you everything that you would have seen on TV through the radio airwaves. Now, whether they did that or not for trying to be on top of a story is one thing. Everybody can Monday morning quarterback that aspect all they want. The one thing that I thought was definitely out of bounds and should never happen, even included in the mix, was interviewing the kids. Why the hell would you have the kids interviewed knowing damn well what they had been through? You know, they don't want to make issues about how psychologically this is going to affect them years down the road. No, they went on ahead and straight up talked to these kids and the parents and everybody else. Look, if you want to talk to an upset parent, if a parent doesn't have enough sense to move their kid out of the way or shield them from this, you know, that's on the bad parenting. But to solicit these kids and ask them, well, what did you hear? What did you see? That's bullshit. You know, it's almost like in the days of the so-called 6 o'clock broadcast when a family gets a tragedy, like somebody's shot or whatever, and the reporter asks the parent or the kid or whoever was killed, the relative, how do you feel? How the hell do you think they feel? Why would you even go and ask something like that? And then they would have the nerve to wonder why they were upset if somebody managed to jump on them angrily because of what they said. This is way out of bounds. And if there's anybody who wants to consider themselves a credible journalist, I have to at least give some grudging depth to Anderson Cooper, because Anderson Cooper, maybe because of how he was raised and all of that, said straight up, I would not interview a kid. You know, that that's just something that's out of bounds. And Professor Fred Witted is in the mix on this, Fred, we're talking. Go ahead, Gary.
It is. We're not interested in journalism anymore.
No.
It got you moment. And that was a got you moment.
It was a got you moment. And the tragedy underlined that the media, in this race to make money off of people's misery and culture, they don't give a rat's ass about being responsible here. You know, somebody up in the front office should have said, yo, no, we can't run that. You know, I don't give a shit how much sometimes money you have to put break on certain things. And they didn't do that. To have those kids interviewed like that was downright egregious, and that anybody who didn't speak up and say, wait a minute, something's wrong with this. You know, don't tell me this was some office decision. It's bullshit. You don't have the kids out there like that. I'm sorry, Fred Witted is in the mix now, and we want to have Fred throw something in the pot. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, first of all, my heart goes out to the families of all those killed and injured and all that, to include the young man who did the shooting, because his family we've now learned is a victim too, because apparently he killed his own mother.
True.
So there were some other issues there. But, you know, you're right. It's unconscionable that you're going to stick a microphone in front of an 8-year-old because he was, quote, a witness to something he don't really know what he's talking about. You don't even do that to police officers.
Exactly.
You're talking about certified officers who, and, you know, and they know not to talk and they know what to and what not to say. And to think that these news pimps going to go out and do this to children, that's as ridiculous as the incident itself.
Exactly.
So, you know, it shows how far we've fallen. This is why we can this is how you can justify all the new loony reporting that's going on in the last several years when nobody. You know, they sit up and watch the president get bashed and disrespected, and nobody wants to say anything.
Exactly.
So,
no.
You know, so they've already shown how low they'll go. This just showed another low.
They're right there.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, got some feedback in the background. Yeah, 502 on the line. 502, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hello, Kathy. Is that you?
No, this is Francine from Louisville.
Hey, Francine. Lady Francine, it's good to have you on here. just hold on, Francine, because I'd love your input as well. But Professor, please go ahead.
Like I say, you know, it shows how low the media has fallen. Mm-hmm. And who knows where the bottom is, because, you know, on a less and funny side. This is where I say they're getting what they deserve when it's so hard for them to sell newspapers. It's so hard for them to sell their news shows and this kind of stuff without going to the quote-unquote what's this nonsense they call it now, reality TV.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing can be more oxymoronic than that.
You know, so this is where, I mean, you know, and this is all too real. I mean, I flipped on the channel and they were interviewing this 8-year-old. He was talking about seeing bullets and this kind of stuff. You know, and they just turned away because it's, you know, you know, although my baby is 29 years old, almost 30, you know, it still wasn't that long ago. And, you know, my kids were in a school and, although nothing ever happened on the campus, it was a new, they had to go through the lockdown, and you know, and you feel for the parents who are outside,
mm-hmm.
who can't get in, because you know, you don't want parents, because you're adding chaos to a chaotic situation.
Exactly.
And then, now some parent is going to look up there and see this young man on the TV talking about what he witnessed. And, you know, he can't make any heads or tails out of it now. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, he'll see himself on TV again. He still won't be able to make heads or tails out of it, even though he was here. So, you know, it's time for the media to wake up and get a clue.
Even worse than that, Fred. No, even worse than that. Nobody really is taking any heart into what these kids' mental state is going to be. You know, they'll talk about counselors and all of that in that moment. And even the police said that they would dedicate one officer to giving further information on what's going on to, you know, the parents and others who, you know, are related to all those who passed away in this tragedy. But long run, just like there's no long-term care for people who are subject to, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder from being out there in war, you know, these kids have undergone something who knows the depth of can register in their brains and affect them down the road here. You know, no one's going to sit there and be concerned about what they're going to be like 5 years from now or 10 years from now. All I heard in what I heard on the radio was, oh, you know, this type of thing that would never happen in a place like ours. You know, this doesn't happen in our town. And then, you know, the town is going to be tainted for years. You know, fuck the town. You know, you went in the wrong direction when you interviewed the kids from the beginning, and you spiraled on with this till the end. And, of course, everyone's caught up in the tragedy, but nobody's seeing the lack of ethics that was just on display here. Having said this, I want to include my friend and colleague, Lady Francine from Louisville, Kentucky, into the mix. First of all, Lady Francine, thanks for taking the time to call us today on Soul Tree Radio in the Raw.
Danielle, well, I'm glad to be here. What I want to say about the children, I watched it. I woke up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to watch it for hours, you know. But the interview with the children, they started off interviewing the parent first.
Mm-hmm.
Then they asked the child a question. The best thing they could do was get it out what they saw each time. Okay. I think it's them being able to tell it right there what happened to them will be super therapeutic, getting it out. Because that's what's wrong with the adults. We hold stuff in.
But, Francine, don't you think... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Ethically, and well, that wasn't really an ethics thing. It was more of a moral wrong to talk to those children, okay? At that point in time, you're taking everything, you know, it's a big situation, just like you said.
I understand that, Lady Francine, but why wouldn't it be an ethical thing when you consider You've got every TV station and all these parasites throwing microphones in these kids' faces, and where's the parent to say, well, wait a minute, hold up, you know? No, I don't want anybody talking to my kid because they're trying to get a story. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I really, those parents did, yeah, they're trying to get a story. That's what they do. They're trying to get information out. Just like you try to get information out, and you're going to get feedback. But I don't look at it as being a parasite at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a parasite if you follow that child to his home.
Or,
that's a parasite for me.
Gary, go ahead. What were we going to say, Gary?
This issue, it goes beyond the children. It goes beyond the parents. It's a moral standard. The moral standard has been broken. It was broken 11 years ago in Columbine. It was broken, right? They interviewed the kids in Columbine High School back then. Nobody said a word about that. Here we are. We're going through it again. We had to stop this wild, wild west cowboy, it was America, guys. And President Bush just continue that cowboy image.
Mm-hmm. Well, but Gary, while Lady Francine is talking about this being, correct me if I'm wrong, Lady Francine, you're saying it's a cathartic thing for the kid to be able to talk about what happened because the parent is there next to him. But I'm looking at this from the standpoint of he wasn't just talking to one entity. He was talking to all these different people, or she was talking to all these different people, and this stuff is blasting out throughout TV, media, the whole nine. Now, I don't think you might see an immediate effect from this, but I'm thinking the residual of this is going to cause far more harm than good because of what they did. I don't know how this kid will sleep at night, and neither will the parents, be totally honest. I don't know if they'll follow up with further grief counseling for those kids at the school. And I don't know how much time they actually will invest before the next man bites dog thing comes down the pike and all of a sudden that impetus is shifted in another direction as news is supposed to do. You know, whatever hits the immediate, you know, mind frame, it goes on and then we carry on to the next story. But I think because of what happened to this in this instance where they went straight to the source but didn't think about what kind of ramifications would be from that so-called source, I think there was a major journalistic error committed here, Lady Francine.
I agree with you on that. I can't agree with you on that. But you also have to understand that when these type of things happen to in schools, it's just about a mandate that they get some counseling. But as you said, the counseling does run out after a period of time. One of the Columbine,
Virginia Tech,
survivor,
all those.
Mm-hmm. The Columbine survivor is making a documentary. And they did a story on him on KET, and is making a documentary. Well, during one of the newscasts, I think it was some station, WC, I think, and not it doesn't end. And he has had a difficult time, but he dropped out of school. He didn't go back. He couldn't go back. Okay.
Yeah.
But it have the counseling, and it's offered to school children. Now, I don't know if that's going to include parents or first responders or any of that, but it's in our education system. Those children are going to get counseling, believe me, trust me.
But there's an aspect to this, lady.
This comes from the nurse part in me, the nurturing part in me, and the nurse part of me that understands and knows that those children, the best thing for those children is to talk about it at their own time, And they're going to start with their mommies and daddies or their mommies and whoever's.
Sure.
And, you know, they're going to tell everybody. But if that's, I'm coming from a different perspective from the other side. I'm talking about the child. And
mm-hmm.
your conversation is about the media and the ethics. You know,
mm-hmm.
why would you want to stick a microphone in a kid's face? What happened? What did you see?
Right.
And you
well,
heard that the shooter was walking down the hall. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interview I saw. And the child said, I saw bullets going by.
Well, listen,
you know.
Lady Francine, I understand that. I want to put my colleague Cowboy Reggie from WCLM in the mix
okay.
here.
Yeah,
Cowboy, I know you're giving please stay on the line. Cowboy, I know you're giving us some updates and whatnot, but you know, I know you heard what you heard thus far. I just want to get your reaction to this.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Mike, for what you've done and to your illustrious guest. But I like to ask your guest, if I may, because she's more learned than I am. I like to always yield to people more knowledge. 2 points, ma'am, if I could, doctor. One, how do you feel about the school being torn down because of that memory? Two,
mm-hmm.
why is it that we have to hear the old familiar phrase, how could this happen here?
Thank you.
You know, I really get sick and tired of that. And the third follow-up, if I may, for the question. Okay, we seem to have, again, over and over again, conservatives, just as called what it is,
mm-hmm.
want to sit up in here and just money away from the schools, if not attack the teachers, if not attack administration. What can people do to hold their elected officials accountable to bring more funding so maybe they have more resource officers, even male detectives?
Lady Francine, that's you first, and then Fred, I want you to chime in on that, please. Go ahead, Lady Francine.
Okay. I forgot what he said first.
well, Reggie, if you would,
but
repeat the first part of that,
here,
please.
Normal,
how
oh, sure,
can
no
this
problem.
Happen here? How can this happen
okay,
here is a normal human response. You saw, if you looked at the television, you saw the title of the school topographically from the top. Be down on it, okay? How can this happen here? Well, the people at Columbine said the same thing. The people at Penn State, I mean, not Penn State, what's the
Virginia
other
Tech. Mm-hmm.
Which, thank you, said the same thing. And it was a whole bunch of, oh my God, and screaming and hollering and yelling, and they need to help them too. And, you know, there were even more victims at Virginia Tech. And these were tween, 20 and 30.
Right.
Some of them 17, 18.
Young adults.
These
mm-hmm.
people were babies, five-year-old
mm-hmm.
kids.
Mm-hmm.
In the one room he went to, those were five. The one room, they said he went to his mother's classroom.
Right.
And he had five-year-olds. Right. And so there's a whole lot of dynamics that go into how could this happen here. That's
mm-hmm.
the first human reaction, you could have somebody else, and the next thing they said be, damn, why
but
is
you
it
know,
always happening here?
But,
is it always happening
here? Lady Francine and Reggie, you know, there's a dynamic that's thrown in that Gary threw in the beginning that really can't be ignored. You know, whenever they say, how could it happen here? They're referring to how could this happen among us because this is a good neighborhood. You know, there are good people here.
Rich
and usually good
yeah,
good equates to white. Let's be real in this and keep this 100. Because bottom line in all of this, you know, when this was happening in black neighborhoods and all of this, I mean, nothing on the score of this, but when you count up the day-by-day body count of kids getting killed for anything from walking around with a hoodie on to being in the wrong place at the wrong time or gang violence or anything like that, you know, they consider it collateral damage. You know, we don't hear people say that, well, how could it happen here? You know, it's like once it hits home in that home, all of a sudden everyone wants to wax poetic and start crying bitter tears and all of that. And again, all life is precious. But why do we get the feeling that some life becomes more precious than others because of what it is and where it happens in? Go ahead,
Mike,
Fred.
Take it back. About 40 years to a lady Ms. Baker, who is raised a question in 1963, I think it was.
Yes.
You know anything about the movie Mississippi Burning?
That's right.
In the search for the two white guys who happen to have a black guy with them,
mm-hmm.
and they found at least a dozen black bodies that they weren't even looking for.
Sure.
Overlay that with the not in my backyard syndrome that permeates. We're not going to put a prison in our backyard. We're not going to put a, you name it, negative
mm-hmm.
in our backyard, because we got to have our pristine situation and keep all the riffraff slash
That's
Negroes
right.
out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is where the whole how can that happen here? We're good folks. We're good folks. We're good folks. No, we're good white folks who got some screwed up white folks in the midst, just like we are good black folks. We among good black folks who did their best not to allow these things to happen.
Right.
And we all make these attempts, but, you know, there are times we fail. Life is relative. We're as good as we are bad, and we're as bad as we are good.
There you go.
We try to hold everything, you know, in its proper context, but a lot of times you can't do that.
True.
And unfortunately, this is one of those times when this young man, now I'm sure they're going to come up with some nice psychiatric or psychological
there you go. That's right.
Term to justify why he flipped out like they did the boys from Columbine. He was, you know, he was bullied and all that other stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know. And see, when I hear stuff like this, I think back a few years when the school where my son graduated from, 2 years
sure.
what happened, called Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you've ever listened to the piece that Nikki Giovanni did
yes.
after
yes.
the fact.
Yes, that's right. Uh-huh.
I mean, it was powerful. But, you know, in looking at that, she laid out one thing that was very important.
Mm-hmm.
These lives are just as precious, or the lives of those young people who die in the middle of the night because these other things that rich people making money cause to happen, those lives are important, too. And you're right. All life is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all people are important. And because of that, you know, we got to stop thinking about those people and them people.
That's right.
And those people we don't want to talk about because,
mm-hmm.
you know, mixed in all those people, you got the George Washington Carvers,
mm-hmm.
you got the Leontine Prices, you
yep.
know, all those people who weren't supposed to make it, who did.
Yep.
And then That's those one, those people who allegedly have all the promise, you know, how do you explain them?
Exactly.
When they fail, and how do you explain when those who aren't supposed to succeed? You can't.
Exactly. You can't. That's exactly right. You can't. I got to throw some wisdom in from the chat room as we're speaking, and our friend and family member, Eric Siderwhite's on the line as well. They tell us to let our children know that they are safe now. You know, really? You know, it's the media's irresponsibility in putting kids out there on Front Street and not thinking big picture in terms of the fact that some of these media members are also parents, and there's some compassion has to be shown in how they present this nonsense. Also, this can happen anywhere, referring to the incident, and has happened in places where people felt safe. It isn't segregated to a certain part of town or color of people. When are people going to realize that there are crimes against humanity, all of us? And the news media panders to the white right, and it's disgusting. It happens in a school, in a shopping mall, in a place of worship, a movie theater, all venues for all people, which leads us to the obvious dynamic that people don't discuss. This is straight-up terrorism we're talking about.
Thank you. Thank
you. Know,
you.
This is straight-up terrorism. You can't – where are you most secure? Where do you feel most secure? You know, you go to a movie, you're thinking about, I want to kill it 2 hours and just entertain myself or be entertained. You go to school, you're thinking, my kids are going there, they're going to learn, and, you know, they're going to be nurtured, and they're going to be in an environment where I don't have to worry about coming home and having some policeman knock on my door and tell me, you know, I'm sorry, something's happened. And in the spirit of all of that, this urban terrorism, there belies one cold hard fact here. The person who did this consciously made an effort to do this. When you bust a cap in somebody like that and then kill your mother and then go to her place of work. Now, obviously, there are other issues that some psychiatrist or sociologist will go off on and try to make money on and doing a dissertation. But the bottom line is, when your last conscious act is to take your own self out, you are aware of everything that you did prior to, because you knew that's what the climax was going to be and the denouement was going to be ending your life. And in this, I want to throw in my colleague, Eric Satterwhite. Eric, first of all, thank you for chiming in, my brother, and good afternoon.
Yeah, what's happening, Mike? How's everybody?
All good, please. And I know you know what happened. If you would, give me your view on how this whole thing has been approached by the media.
Inaccurately.
Mm-hmm.
Inaccurately. Initially, the lady involved, who was allegedly the mother of Adam Lanza, I believe Nancy
right.
Champion
mm-hmm.
Lanza,
mm-hmm.
she was not a teacher at the school. She was
mm-hmm.
not an employee at the school. She's not listed in any of the Newport Elementary School
yeah.
education proprietaries. She was
mm-hmm.
not. She also was the licensed person who had the weaponry. Those
mm-hmm.
weapons were licensed in her name.
Exactly.
The 223 rifle and all
yep,
those
the Bushmaster.
Weapons are CIA licensed weapons
yep.
that were brought on that particular campus. So she was not a teacher. That's the first inaccuracy.
Mm-hmm.
Second inaccuracy about the case and what's transpired with the number of victims. There's still some undisclosed information in terms of what the carnage is. But for the psi effect, for the psyops effect
mm-hmm.
of from the media standpoint of creating an avalanche of emotional resentment because it regards children, and anyone who doesn't have any kind of sentiment towards children, even if they don't even have children of their own, you know, me being a parent, being an uncle,
mm-hmm.
you know, what have you, and also having, you know, a consortium of allies who have small children, whatever, we all have a sensitive empathic nature towards this case. But again, it's being fostered now to create an avalanche of the usual emotional woe to me, are we safe, question your freedom, the scenario, the greatest horror flick going. And it's really some more intricate details involved
sure.
other than just the massive, you know, ramification of rage of someone
mm-hmm.
on meds who allegedly drove from Hoboken, New Jersey, and had this high-powered weaponry.
Yep.
And brought it on a particular campus in Newtown, Connecticut, which is considered by even the residents there as a hedge fund ghetto, because
yep.
most of the individuals there are hedge funders, you know, from that kind of broad marketing scam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the woman who got killed, she lived in a $500,000 home, was receiving over $20,000 a month in alimony from a spouse who was also
mm-hmm.
involved. So there's other ramifications involved. That's just not locked in on just all the emotionality created and to walk around with the fear factor and the who's who. And, yes, all life is precious,
mm-hmm.
but we're living in a time frame like right now where, you know, individuals who aren't right and have been messed with by other kind of formats are now just making their marks. And there's some other ramifications involved there. I don't think we have this the place and time to go into it, but that's just my
right.
statement.
No, I agree. Go ahead, Gary.
Michael, we are creating monsters.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean to create monsters is because of the isolation for individuals, because of work, because of et cetera, et cetera, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
we are creating monsters in the country. What I mean is, when you become isolated, you become paranoid, schizophrenic, whatever. And,
sure. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing in your stuff.
Yep.
It could come back at it, right?
Yep.
So whatever this guy was going through, he had no right to take away 5 or 6 year old kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care how you dress it up, I don't care how you make it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right. And it didn't need to stop because we're losing talent That's totally wrong.
Well, see, I want to stay on this tip regarding the psych war here, because, you know, Eric coined this a while ago, and it's definitely true. You know, never mind the incident. Let's keep the incident in a separate spot and just understand it day by day. If kids are going to school in poor areas or urban areas, never mind the whole color aspect, but they're going to schools where they walk through metal detectors and they're subject to being screened or frisked at any time. I mean, there was one incident, I believe, in Arizona where a private prison consortium had their personnel searching the school kids at the behest of the school officials. Now, think about that. You know, how terrorist is that? And never mind the kids that go to school with inadequate teachers, inadequate learning situations, sometimes not even desk to sit in or 50 kids crammed in a room. You can't tell me that that's not terrorism, because they're not getting what they're supposed to. They don't feel comfortable there if they're not conducive to being in an environment where they can learn. And if I throw this in from the chat room, I think two very important points are made. You know, when I heard stuff on the radio about how, well, you know, this is what happened when we took God out of the school. No, I'm sorry. This is bull. Shoving microphones in the faces of little children who don't even have a concept of what has just happened. You know, some can't even understand the concept of death yet. And that children are being stripped of their childhood, their innocence, and their feelings of trust and safety. And they talk about, because we took God out of the schools. Yeah, right. You ask the victims of all those priests who did those egregious things to kids if they knew that God was with them and they felt safe because God was there. You know,
on that point, if you look at it from a international level, you know, you look at from a situation of a predator drone striking a school or striking a hospital and killing hundreds.
Yep.
Under the guise of war.
Sure.
You follow? I mean, so in other words, it's like this emotional outlet of contempt is usual, but again, it's in duality form. Mm-hmm. The same sensitivity should be amongst children and youth any and everywhere. Mm-hmm. And not just because it's on soil that wakes people up, you know, from, you know, going to go play their lottery ticket.
Most
or what
definitely.
They consider was a certain situation like that in anywhere where a child is unsafe, anywhere where a child is getting maimed and killed is not only a travesty, it has global consequences anywhere. At the same time this
That's
incident
right.
was taking place, there was an incident in China where 20 school children was killed.
Thank you. I was
Let
bring
alone
that up.
Forget
mm-hmm.
about what took place in Norway with this Anders Breivik, who did
there
a
you go.
Slaughter job of over 200
mm-hmm.
people.
Sure
and we
did.
Didn't have the outrage because it wasn't within the boundaries of the 50 states.
Exactly.
Here you have an elite community and an elitist society where this individual, you know, with the typical on meds, on medication.
Mm-hmm. That's right, ADHD,
usual, all of this usual, you know, lone wolf, depraved society, you know, characters who is using weaponry from a parent who's not a teacher at the school. Now it's a teacher
mm-hmm.
assistant. Well, what was she really doing there?
Exactly.
And what was really taking place on this campus for a commentary to be taking place? Well, we just had security measures last week. What's
Thank
the
you.
Concern for security measures? What's transpiring at this particular campus? And then again, so much has been articulated what the numbers are and who's been done, but then again, there's still been no strong foundations of the who and the what. So to me, it's still an unproven scenario. Anything's
exactly.
possible nowadays.
Exactly.
And but what is universal and what's safe to say in this kind of environment, since we're not, you know, hitting all these national channels where then all of a sudden you'd have these cats start knocking on your door. You
mm-hmm.
follow what I'm saying?
But oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it would in a heartbeat. But what's happening in this particular scenario is a situation where there's other events that are transpiring, you know, both universal and cosmological,
mm-hmm.
that are using the distractive force that people sway attention on this particular subject matter that, again, causes levels of sensitivity because of what and who it involves.
Without
but there's
doubt.
A lot more budding and building scenario. But, you know, again, if we want to have an outrage of emotion for anything,
mm-hmm.
then it's unfair and it's very short-sighted to have not that for any and everywhere when there's, you know, there's famines across this planet where millions die because they just can't even get something to eat, let
exactly.
alone, you know, a gunman, you know, with high expensive weaponry going onto a particular campus and then retransmit that particular level of your soul emotion to that event.
See, we gotta throw that in the mix too, Eric, because the 223 rifle, the Bushmeister that she had, was supposedly turned into automatic, because you can't buy an automatic weapon off the market
CIA,
like that.
It's a gunsmith, CIA issue weapons and
exactly,
the power and the Glocks.
It's most definitely. You know, even a gunsmith would have to have it in his hand to convert it from semi-automatic to automatic and whatnot. And even with that, it's small caliber. At least the afraid you can confirm me whether I'm right or wrong in this. I think it uses small caliber bullets for that and whatnot, because it's essentially a lower caliber rifle. It's not a powerful thing like a 30-06 or anything like that. But that she had this thing and it was semi-automatic is these are questions that they're not talking about, because everybody's caught up in the psyop moment of the kids, and God bless them that they're not going to be here anymore. But this kid walking in there and popping everybody like they did, something else is not being talked about. And as we always say on this show, the real story often is the one that's not talked about. And that's part of where we're leading in here. Fred, come on in if you would.
Well, it is a smaller caliber. But remember, back in the day, the hit weapon of choice was a .22.
Mm-hmm.
Which is about as weak as you can get, but a .22 at the right range and the right spot kills you just as dead as a .198 howitzer. So, and you got kids who possibly didn't even run initially while he's shooting. And trust me, if you got a weapon like that, and you put, basically the difference between an automatic and a semi is the semi, you got to pull the trigger. So
right.
It's like working your finger, scratching your nose, because you don't have, you know, because the when a shot is fired, the shell is ejected and another round is chambered. As long as you pull the trigger. The difference is with automatic, you just hold the trigger down. So I mean, it's really splitting hairs.
Yeah,
you got kids in a room that can't run from you. You just point it at them and shoot. That's basically what he did. This is what the guy did up at Virginia Tech. You know, like I said, my son went there. He graduated 2 years. Knew several of these young people who got killed. And it's near and dear to me. But I also live in a town where the military is a large portion of our population.
Sure.
So you can sit around with the fellas
and the soldier class.
That's
in North
right.
Carolina.
Right. Thank you.
The soldier class is there. A lot of internal beatings and murders of spouses in that area.
There you go.
Big time.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, one of the last ones happened was less than 2 miles from where I live.
Right.
And trust me, with all the lip service the military is giving, they aren't even scratching the surface on dealing with the situation, because they're still telling a guy or a young lady who has issues, mental issues, we can sectionate you out of here, you get no benefits, et cetera, et cetera. So you got to keep your mouth shut.
Exactly. So in an environment like that, when you see adults get treated like that, what makes anybody believe that a child is going to be properly nurtured to transition out of a traumatic atmosphere or situation like that? In the chat room, I got more stuff. That's the point. People get licenses to own weaponry, and the thought of others in the family who may not be stable enough to deal with that is never there. When someone has made a decision to go out in a big way, they'll find these weapons and use them. And this is not segregated to any one ethnicity. This is a problem in our culture and involves all of us. We have become our own terrorists. Well,
to that point, Mike. To that point,
Eric.
The blanket assessments, you know, sounds good, you know, when you're politicking, you know, and the blanket assessments, and you know, running emotional furor, and the sky is falling, here we go again, and you need to have control over these situations. Stuff is being played out just so universally. So they're not really bringing nothing eye popping, you know. There's really nothing new to that type of persona. to say it's a good viewpoint. However, again, you're looking at a woman who's on this campus, back to this point, who's not a teacher, who's not an employee of that school district. Let's get that straight.
Yep.
Okay? Let's start with the crux, because it's okay, this person's mother was killed.
That's right.
Okay, well, this person's mother was killed, but they're not an employee. So in other words, by virtue of this woman being on this campus, then this carnage does not take place, correct?
There you go.
Because that's what you're looking for. You follow? So what's up with that?
Yep, I agree.
I mean, if that doesn't raise a question before, we run the gamut as me just sitting here, you know, listening to this, that we're going to just, you know, sit around and, you know, hold hands and do the vigil. You know what I mean? It's going to be enough of those. We're going to do plenty of those. But let's fact build. This woman allegedly was on the campus, and she was also the person who had these weapons, also was the same person who was taking her sons out to rifle ranges to shoot these particular persons.
There it is.
What's her background?
Yep.
You know, what's her background? Okay, you know, and I won't confirm this, but, you know, from sources I, you know, trust, say she worked for DARPA as a CIA analyst, you know, in terms of video game technology for hunting and shooting games. I'll leave it there.
And see, having said those things, that's the other side of the coin here. You know, why was she there? Who was she working for? What was the real motive?
Or were these children part of these programmings?
Exactly.
You know, and this, that, and the other. And then, you know, the live fire. There's a lot of situations that transpire as opposed to some random nut looking for his mother who was not a true employee. They're not listing on any official documentation. Now, I know that, and Fred can verify this, I'm certain, because he's in the educational business, where to get on campus and get in front of people, you have to have background checks, you have to run fingerprints,
exactly.
You may have to have a TB test. If you coach, they run a background on you. You have to be certified in, you know, CPR, certain things of that matter. Just can't get around. You just can't get amongst young people because you may be bringing that kind of weight on campus. And plus, you know, as a person, you know, unbeknownst to who has a top secret clearance, you know, I mean, I am an Air Force vet, you know, who understands what the Office of Personnel Management does when they do background checks to give you clearances. There's a lot involved here.
Sure.
Well, the first thing, Eric, is this is not a random person.
That's my point.
I mean, you know, I go on campuses from time to time. You got to check in with this principal's office and know who you are, et cetera, et cetera. And there's too much floating information, too much information that you got to float just to get in and get on
and
get around. So, you know, you're right. This is not
some
off-wall.
With a gun, just going there busting on everyone because he's got a beef with his mama.
That's
as it gets. That's not the deal here.
And let's remember that when the police first got this from the continual broadcasting, what was consistent, when they decided to go out and give their first press conference, they were saying that there was information that they were going to withhold, and they gave the premise that it was going to have to do with the kids, but it really doesn't have anything to do with the kids at all. The information they're withholding is creating the backstory so that they don't say the things that we're saying on the air right now.
And another point to that, Mike, just to add in real quick, because because you're on it, and just to keep the flow,
please,
and I get kicked back to you, is the fact that there also immediately in the initial reports there was a second arrest of another person allegedly campus with camouflage pants. So allegedly is now gone.
But see,
and what was the deal with the brother or something ID being used?
Yeah, they arrested him at Facebook. They ran with Facebook with the wrong identification of Ryan Lanza, and NY. He was working at an Ernst & Young accounting office. Look at all these names and how it connects to the global financial structure.
Exactly.
Ernst & Young
is
working with the accounting organization, and NYPD went and just snatched him up out of there. But he wasn't in Connecticut during the time, so why are they up there, you know, handcuffing him up? And his father, who was paying his high alimonies, a tax assistant for a General Electric Financial Fund, is a top tax analyst.
This is
for
no
that
joke.
Organization, and this is a hedge fund community, and we have a dark, I mean, you know, whatever, you know. So as long as we just, you know, walk the road of just basic, you know, lone nut, wolfdom, and, you know, pour out our emotion. We got to pour out our emotion. Yes, it was insensitive. Yes, you know, I've sent young people to, you know, campuses and went up to the school and hoped it was a safe place and, you know, was hoping it was, you know, they would come back in the way that they left the initial home. Sure, Mm-hmm. We all have a high level of sensitivity. But at the same token of time, we have young people across the planet going under this, you know, under worse conditions, getting bombed out of their existence in some cases. And
that's
some being
exactly
starved
right.
to death. So I want to just say that, yes, you know, my empath goes to any young people anywhere on this particular planet, you know, fulfilling this thing. And I wish that the same outreach was felt everywhere, because at this point now, everyone has a feeling of what it is to be in that particular position, even your quote-unquote so-called elites.
That's right. And you know what? If to your point, Eric, if there is no effort to do the exact same thing on the exact same level for all kids, therein lies even more terrorism, because that's the kid with the two dolls in front of him asking you which one's the better doll, which one do you want to play with, the white doll or the black doll. And if it's a black kid picking up a white doll, you see the level of mental terrorism that's been inflicted upon him, that the kid doesn't even like what they see in the mirror. This, to a lesser degree, is part of the same process, because now you see these kids who saw their kids, who saw their peers get killed in schoolyards or in the street from drug traffic or just being in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know, they don't see anybody giving a fuck about them. Let's be real. They don't see anybody offering compassion to them. They say, well, you know, you're down there with the animals and whatnot, so, you know, lose your soul. You know, this isn't supposed to happen in a community like Newtown. You just said it. Mom is getting $20,000 a month. If we just do the numbers on that, she's getting over $360,000 a year in alimony. She's working for a high-end company. Her son is involved in one of the few accounting firms that survived all the chaos of the recession and whatnot, with all of the accounting firms consolidating and whatnot. There's a backstory here that's never going to see the light of day, but nobody's going to bother to look for it, because it's a Joseph Goebbels moment, and the propaganda and the tragedy of the moment is going to supersede anything else that comes down the pipe. You know, I have to reset here at the top of the hour. You are listening to Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. Mike Lewis Ingram, your host, a panel of wonderful folks here, along with my colleague Gary Gray, Fred Witted, and Cowboy Reggie, Mr. Eric Satterwhite. More stuff in the chat room before Cowboy Reggie. I want to get an update from you. According to what was just said, that truth is a far cry from what was reported in the news regarding what Eric Bruss just brought out. News reports had her pegged as a kindergarten teacher. Being a CIA analyst is a far cry from being a kindergarten teacher. Another example how we are never going to get the truth from mainstream media. And Reggie, to that point, Eric just made the statement that I was going to make as well about, meanwhile in China, some knife-wielding nut job just stabbed 22 kids to death, and nothing was said. Now, and when I lived in Europe, there was stuff that was going on that never got to the light of day on the other side of the water. I knew about what was happening in certain parts of Africa long before we got all soft and warm and fuzzy about it on this side of the water, because BBC and other outlets were reporting it. You know, we didn't care about it until all of a sudden we had our moment where, you know, you cried that tear and whatnot, and then you had Hotel Rwanda, and all of a sudden everybody's all hot and bothered. I knew
millions.
About Hotel Rwanda years ago before this crap hit the fan. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
yeah, Fukushima
right now with the radiation fallout and how it's affecting and destroying children. This thing is endemic over the planet. This one was one of these control mechanisms within societal things that
Thank
was
you.
Not just some random, you know, gun
Thank
law
you.
Type nut. This was
never
sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sophisticated community that was targeted. This was an individual who was not an employee of that particular school district. This psyops creature knew where to go to get it popping, and then how the arrest fallout. Then allegedly there was another arrest and a man being withheld, and another body allegedly off campus that was affiliated with this person that they thought was the father, that all of a sudden that body's no longer being listed in the initial death toll. So
exactly.
Yeah, but
exactly.
Mike, you know, the thing, there are two points. I'm glad we brought information out, but the bottom line is we're going to have to do the information to get information out there. I mean, why are you going to allow somebody else that want to cover it up? You remember when the Virginia Tech shooting was out there, Dick Gregory
sure.
pointed out that one of the professors that was killed was working on a high-level project with the government.
Yeah.
But see, they didn't talk about that. So
that's
I'm
a high
saying,
training
you know,
ground. CIA trains
yeah.
in Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
They have a unit there.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So we got to get this information out by any means necessary. So the bottom line is, as my man said, are we scared? Are we going to put the information out? I mean, if you think you're going to allow mainstream media, you can forget that. So the bottom line is that we got to support social radio and brain trust here, and we got to put this information out. So I'm just sitting back listening. So go for it, guys. I'm listening. Go for it.
No, this is truly a war of attrition that's going on here. And a lot of guys, and Gary, go ahead with that, because a lot of people are being taken out of the equation even before they can step up to do anything about it. You have a whole bunch of people put under control and made into untouchables, for lack of a better way of putting it and whatnot. You kill their hope. You make sure that they don't rise. I mean, there's some medieval shit going on here that people, it's just gone over their head.
Yeah, it's getting to the point now where we are our own. We have to be our own vanguard now.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, if I'm on the West Coast and you're on the East Coast, we have to talk to each other every day, because we're not going to give them mainstream media. We're not going to have it.
It's no joke. You said it yourself when you came on the air. You know, there were kids getting killed out there in Oaktown that didn't register a blip on the radar. But when this happened, the focus shifted 3,000 miles in the other direction, and this was plastered on your TV screen for the longest of times before they decided to eventually temper down the momentum. Now, like I said, go ahead, Gary, I'm sorry.
There were three young men in Richmond, California, that died this week. Actually, a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
We were like 5 minutes. Oh, a guy died. Okay, go move on. Move on. See that. Tells me, as an African, a young African running man, we don't count.
No, we don't. Guys, I have to take a quick break. We'll come back to this briefly, but I want to also jump on another aspect of the PSYOPs situation as it pertains to sports. Rob Parker, a pitiful young man who had a pitiful moment. He was swallowed up by the mouse. Just one more rat in the trap. And how that affects the overall picture. You're listening to Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. Those who want to contribute, throw something in the pot. And thank you, Lady Francine, for calling in. 718-508-9216. 718-508-9216. Yes, indeed. I want to hear from you, too. 718-508-9216, Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. Your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, DJ Honeycomb here. More wisdom from the chat room. What is incredibly sad about this is that if this incident happened in a more ethnic neighborhood, it never would have been anywhere in mainstream media. If the CIA is planning on taking people out, it doesn't matter where, it will just happen and be covered up as someone who is mentally unstable did the deed, the low nut scenario that Eric just pointed out. Another bit of feedback here, but the media did cover the shooting of the Sikhs, didn't they? Well, they did cover the shooting of the Sikhs, but even as they covered the shooting of the Sikhs, you know, they never spent any time to discern what the difference was between what the Sikh faith is as opposed to the Muslim faith. You know, when the terrorists supposedly did the damage that they did on 9/11, there was no discernment made as to understand the difference between one or the other. And of course, Muslims were being attacked and Muslim Americans Middle Eastern Americans, Arabs, who professed even a different faith, whether they were Catholic or not, it didn't matter. By appearance alone, they were, you know, indicted and set upon. And the cover of mental illness really is the perfect cover because it's been used since time immemorial.
It's not working, though, Mike. It's not, you know, I mean, that's not working here.
Right, it's not working now, but I'm just saying
we want to cancel that one, you know.
It's been in the playbook for a long time.
They can run that all they want, but what the key point to that I would like to articulate on.
Please, go ahead, brother.
Is the fact that when you're dealing with pharmaceuticals and these pharmaceutical companies, and these pharmaceuticals are the ones that are being blamed, there's no weight be given to those in the pharmaceutical companies. We've had a numerous amount of people in our communities and our families who are take these pharmaceuticals, go into the hospital, walk on their two feet, and leave in a wheelchair if they leave at all. Then they get all these prescriptions, and then these prescriptions dehydrate them, which if they're melanated dominated, these things bind to the melanin molecule and slowly destroy them. That's why so much within these are what you call your eugenic warfares. So this is what happens in these pharmaceutical organizations. So when you have this person with the alleged, you know, Charlie Manson helter-skelter drug binge, you know, he's going on a craze Loon Benedict. No, this person was going to target practice with his mother. She was holding high operating government level weaponry. She was not an employee at that particular institution.
Thank you.
Superintendent of that district does not even confirm her existence. They were having security details and exercises prior to this event happening, and then the whole media descends. You have the President of the United States who rose out expressing his emotions because he understands that with everything he has to go with and all these mass murders that have taken place underneath these guys and these government relations to it, it goes back to what we talked about initially about this military complex, you know, trying to justify their means to their ends, and these things are all clapbacks on all these particular subjects, all related to this financial institution and the so-called economic cliff. I'll leave it there.
Yeah, no, because listen, as I stated earlier, this is a war of attrition. There's a number they have in mind, and they're not even close to it, and they're looking to take out as many people as possible. And what makes this even more evil is the aspect of kids being utilized as targets. Soft targets. You know, they're taking these kids out. What do you think any kid anywhere in this country must be thinking as they hear this news that an 8-year-old, one of their peers, is talking about this? Now, they're talking about how kids can bounce back from things and all that. That's bull. You know, for every kid who might have the mental capacity early on to recoil and readjust, there's thousands of kids, because they're not even fully formed emotionally, who are going to be scarred by this, you know, because of the imagery that they see. And because when they go to school, they're going to go to schools thinking, oh, you know, shit, that could be me. Yeah. Or somebody will look cross-eyed at someone, and the next thing, people will overreact. Or they won't react soon enough, and something else will jump off. we've seen
people in our communities,
I mean,
have always been fostered with that. Even goes back to the crack days where these young children were walking through, you know, playgrounds with nothing but crack vials littered on their playground areas.
That's
with
terrorism
the,
right there.
Throughout the America. This is happening, you know, in the 80s at that particular time. So this war in Minnesota, young people being vaccinations, being these soft targets, as you mentioned, in terms of being hit. There's
mm-hmm.
been even more when they're being assaulted with their lunches. You know, you have an obesity problem. You know, Michelle Obama,
sure.
the first lady, came out with a program for school lunches where
mm-hmm.
she had a meat restriction, and then
yep.
that was countered by virtue of the things because they're being downloaded with GMOs anyway. They're
That's
being
exactly
hit with
right.
the technosphere. Most of these young people do have cell phones. They have laptops. They have iPads. They have
mm-hmm.
all these different technologies. Things. So this thing through that sphere goes everywhere. They're also playing these particular video games that are there. Then they're also being downloaded with certain types of music format
mm-hmm.
that are set to a certain hertz.
Certain frequency.
Certain hertz tone.
There you go.
That indicts these things as well. So as far as this being poly purebred situations or what people are being exposed to is anything but that. But in this particular case, this was a systematic psyops type situation that transpired in a community that felt untouched. But there's reasons for that attraction there within 30 miles of the mouse, which you were going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and so I see Fred popped that Fred pop back when you get a chance. I know they're trying to get updates on the Winston-Salem State game.
21-7 Valdosta State.
21-7 Valdosta. Well,
8:30 left in the third quarter.
All right, well, Ram Nation, I know they're going to cue to come back, so we'll continue to keep posted on that. But more stuff from the chat room. It is also reported that the mainstream covered that of all these shooters are clothed the same, all in black with their faces covered. Well, yeah, we're consistent with that from the so-called trench coat mafia that they used the nickname for to hype up the negative aspect of what happened at Columbine. The sight of the crack vials in the schoolyard that a kid has to negotiate through, each one of those crack vials represents a bullet. In my mind, like, yeah, you know, we missed you this time, but we're going to get you. You know, we may get you indirectly, or you may catch some flack off a stray hit, but we're going to get you. Whether that be from me mugging your mom to get that money for crack, or me breaking in your house, or popping a cap and you just happen to be at the window when that bullet is fired and whatnot, that's terrorism. No matter how you slice it, because a kid, a parent, a family, they're all trying to negotiate through all that horse shit. And if somehow they get through it, you know, it's like they're running of the Serengeti and whatnot as they're being picked off by predators left and right. You know, they make it. They survive. But in that spirit, you have these kids subjected to this so that when you get the other side of the coin, well, you know, the idyllic so-called gated community or planned community where there's no plans for anybody there who's not of a certain class, and then you see something like that happen, that sends shockwaves everywhere because it literally is a test run. They're telling you, we can do this to anyone, anywhere, anytime, any community. And the pharmaceutical angle of this is most definitely not to be ignored. Because they can talk about the kid having ADD or ADHD or whatever the flavor of the month is and all of that and what drugs are used to temper that, but they're never going to explain why he did what he did. We'll always hear the catchphrases like how he was a loner and he didn't have any social skills and he was moody or brooding or whatever the phrase may fit the script will be. They will all use this to disguise the fact that this kid straight up went evil and did exactly what he did, knowing what he did, and then as the Cowboys were going to come in to clash on him, he ended his own life.
That's the reports, right? I mean, to me, it's
mm-hmm.
still all unconfirmed.
Sure.
You know what I mean? None of it may be confirmed because there's really nothing decisive to state that he did kill his own self. And then, again, there was an initial arrest allegedly made immediately when it transpired that there was a gentleman, there may have been two gunmen that reported. That's been squelched. Allegedly,
that's right.
Someone with camouflage pants was on campus as well. So, you know, again, it was no different than the shooting in Aurora where there was allegedly another gunman by
mm-hmm.
allegedly. but it all switched to Holmes, and he also had connections to, you know, certain mind, new tropical neuron brain research by government officials. He was a child of that as well.
That's right.
So
that's exactly
there's a lot
right.
of these situations transpire. So to blanket the fear
mm-hmm.
and put that out there in the world and make that be the number one guy, someone feeds off that fear. So that's why I say squelch the fear. It's great to have empath for the situation,
right.
but it's a little more systematic than just, you know, the lone nut running loose.
Most definitely. I want to close the subject out so we can move on. But, Gary, if you want to get some last licks on this, throw something in the pot, please.
All right. What America needs to do is step back. What I mean is, we were told in 1948 what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Gary, oh, Gary popped out. Fred, you want to throw something in the pot?
Getting hot. It's getting hot, Mike.
Yeah, it's getting hot for real. That's right.
Well, the thing we always have to consider in situations like this, there's it's like an argument. There's a right, the wrong, and then there's a truth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Eric is right on with some things because, you know, think about it. He was in the Air Force. I think he said you know, he would probably have heard of an incident back some years ago where the military was feeding LSD to soldiers.
That's right.
Correct.
You know, and who knows what other mind-altering things have been done to military guys. You know, we look at Rambo, well, that's a bad movie.
Especially in infantry.
Walk the street with Rambos every day because
mm-hmm.
until very recently, and it's still run in part from here, Special Forces, Special Ops,
yes.
yep.
Ops, all those kind of things. You know, they have trained within 10 miles of where I stay.
Mm-hmm.
You see these guys at the mall. You see, you know, I used to live across the street from a Special Forces guy. I watched this guy kill a snake and skin him with a knife, a pocket
mm-hmm.
knife. So, you know, this is what he started a fire with two rocks and a little
yeah.
bit of straw.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of things they're trained to do. And so when you mix something like that with a mind-altering drug, who knows what you're going to come up, because we don't know where these things will go.
There you go.
They expected the black neighborhood to have been gone by now between LSD, which we didn't really get into because they had to use needles.
That's exactly right. And crack.
We came up with crack, you know, and all these other things. Just smoke it. Well,
but that's nowadays it's called the prison industrial complex, Fred, and that was the down low of the organizations with the musical industry when
yep.
they had these, you know, things like Pass the Corvance, yay, and I push
mm-hmm.
all this weight and I still sling the yay. And when all that stuff dropped, the prison industrial complex, which needed this cheap labor to go inside, created that whole subculture, which has just bum rushed the prison
mm-hmm.
industrial complex amongst that particular agreement that was downloaded in the early 90s when they moved it away from conscious hip-hop, you know, more of a public enemy,
right.
stop the violence,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, you know, and all those kind of situations like that to be more conscious, and they flipped it to more of a misogynistic and criminalistic and alcohol-driven, drug-culture-driven,
mm-hmm.
gang-driven, sign-driven kind of a cult subculture, which created the prison industrial complex, which made it a glamorous thing to go ahead and look because someone was rapping about how much weight they were moving. And
exactly.
having known people in my youth who kind of, you know, dealt in that kind of business, though, their whole realm was about being stealth, not broadcasting and swinging it.
There you go.
You have a so-called mm-hmm. ex-crack dealer himself, an ex-weed dealer named, you know, Jay-Z, who self-admitted,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, that this is what I did to come up, being honored as some kind of illustrious cat when this was put to his particular background, is the case in point. Well, you know what, if I can do that and then be the next Jay-Z, then let me get in this subculture, too, because even if I go in, I'm still on my way as well, and then
that's
I don't
right.
have the street creative. I don't get arrested or get pumped anyway, where some of your most vivid voices got murdered in the street, still no arrest, still no culture. So that was a whole download. So they got more sophisticated and flipped that, and it became more universal because now you can put that across the airways and reach more people, like it or not, and put the right hook on it, download it with the 70s funk style and the unduplicable music called funk, and then download those tracks to that particular beat. You're going to even get a crew like that to download it. Man, this is extremely sophisticated. sophisticated psyop.
You got that shit right. Ain't no doubt. Gary, I'm sorry to cut you off and whatnot. I know we're getting hot over there. Burnt the line. Go ahead, Gary. Come on in.
All right. Then also, the other aspect of this, you know, HIV AIDS.
Thank you.
Okay.
You read my mind.
This disease came out of nowhere. And people better wake up. Better wake up because it was targeted for African Americans. That's what it was targeted for.
It was targeted for Africans, period, Gary. I mean, it was targeted for people of color, straight up.
It got away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And the gay community got it. That's what happened. And, look what we did wrong. And now right, and they're back now.
Well, for real, Gary, if we keep it 100 on that regard, you know, I've talked on this show often about a book called Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola, and the information that came out in that book where they talked about the government creating a virus,
yep.
And the project was labeled special. And Eric, I think you confirm when the word special is used, it implies covert, as if it's going to be used, you know, for something for that kind of reason. It's enveloped all through Africa, the epicenter, sub-Saharan Africa. People got taken out. Millions of people got taken out, if not taken out, weakened, so that they would be too weak to fight if somebody were to come in and just bogart their area. Long story short, the irony in all of this is how Bush gets awarded with some sort of medal for encouraging abstinence among the African people that he took so much time and trouble to try to knock the fuck out. And we're lavishing him with praise when in reality he just did an effective job of clearing out and thinning out several herds to reduce the number significantly, because it's way past, well, their goal supposedly is way past where it should be. There's more people to take out. If we don't connect what's going on with AIDS, with what's going on with crack, with what's going on with these pharmaceuticals, everybody, not just talking about everybody, needs to wake the fuck up, because there's stuff going on here that is way over their pay grades, and they need to understand that when it's in your face, by the time it's in your face, it's well too late. From the chat room, we got this. We're referring to all this. It's the disease du jour, referring to HDD and AD. And reports of HDD and HDAD, among with other mental disorders, flood the news media so that they will eventually have a perfect cover for this terrorism. In tune with your scenario, Eric, that you've hypothesized on. Now, I've got to close this out and move on and all of this, but I have to make this final statement regarding what's been done to kids, not just in this specific incident, but over the course of just this year alone. We've seen how the media has been twisting everybody in the wind regarding this. When word first came out about what happened at Penn State, you know, you had the immediate moments of shock and horror, and then they immediately tried to cover up, patch up all the loose ends and whatnot, and they sacrificed one person as the pawn for all the egregious stuff that had been done. It brought up the damage that the Catholic Church had done to priests and all of the stuff that they had done with kids. Gary made point about how sports schools like Syracuse, other than Penn State, were also involved. An incident in Notre Dame came up about how kids or women were sexually abused there. All kinds of stuff that got buried and whatnot under the guise of, well, you know, it's not news that's fit to print. Our mainstream media is becoming more and more editorialized. And you know, when you're on that dial now, if you look at your cable channel directory, you've got NBC or MSNBC representing the liberal voice, Fox representing the nut job voice, CNN nowhere near in the middle, and the others, you don't really care, because whatever the story du jour is that day, they're going to look at the fluff stuff because they only have 22 minutes to tell you what the hell they want to tell you anyway.
They're controlled by the FCC too, Mike.
Exactly, and all that's controlled by the FCC. So all that said, to put this mildly, as terrorism is not to produce hype or try to gain some shock value here. As was said, it is what it is. And people need to look at this much more intently to understand things are going on out here that they need to be up on, just as much up on as the price of pot roast on sale. Because if you're not spending any kind of energy at all on this, you're going to get caught up in it. And we know the blast radius from terrorism, that's worldwide. It hits everybody everywhere because everybody was once somebody's baby. And any baby losing their life in the manner that they lost here yesterday or anywhere else across this country, whether it be through guns or drugs or whatever, is a life wasted if people don't realize what else is coming down the pike. Now, having said that, I want to shift gears, kind of, sort of, but not totally deviate from what the media does and doesn't do here. I'd pass this on to Eric first because this was amusing hearing this. We know what ESPN the Mouse does in dehumanizing folks, and, you know, they don't even believe half their own bullshit. But it got really stupid when Rob Parker, who is, and I use the sad word, columnist, came out and said something about Robert Griffin III, who was a professional football player who is playing fairly well right now for the Washington team. And he made assertions that, well, Robert Griffin wasn't a real brother because his leanings are more to the right. He has a white fiance, and, you know, he's not popping and jiving like what he thinks the brothers should be doing. Now, he got on the air and said this nationwide on one of their stupid talk shows, and then the backlash came. And, Eric, the backlash in my mind obviously came more because they didn't get the desired reaction and probably because, you know, he put himself out there and they let him out there to hang his own self because this is exactly the kind of programming that they wanted. They just didn't get the desired result.
You know, I mean, I'm miffed that they get any desired result as often as I hear direct quotes and
exactly
direct statements from, you know, my personal writings. You know, you follow what I'm saying?
I mean, oh, yes,
almost,
most,
you know, and I like to put that out there front and center because,
please do.
I mean, there's like stanzas that are direct quotes. You know, they read everything you write, listen to everything you
they
hear.
Do.
And because these situations are, and because these situations are archived, they can go into them and listen to them at their point and then try to come off as if, you know, they're becoming original, which usually leads to the debasement that transpired when you're operating from that particular premise. So the first thing that I've noticed, and I had another conversation with another brother that we both know that, you know, claims to, you know, have a relationship with this suspended, you know, columnist or, you know, whomever. I won't use the Eli brother's name. You already did, you know, with the fact that this individual always portrayed himself with his, what I like to call the black shticked gimmick.
Yes.
Shtick, S-C-H-T-I-C-K, you know, Yiddish word for, you know, maybe slapstick, you know, using that particular term. However, he would always come on as if he was, you know, the voice of reason for all brothers and sisters. He never spoke for my disposition or anyone in my immediate circles, any one of my family members when you created what was a down brother, who was a cornball brother or anything of that matter. Every time this individual, for the few shows I've seen, would come on, he would get lambasted by another brother on how he was dressed.
Yep.
You know, as if they were having an on-air play the game of dozens.
That's what
you know,
it,
about,
that's
you
what
know
it was.
What your attire should be. And it was really just a Bojangles fest. Mm-hmm. And it was an Amos and Andy festival in terms of what was terms of what was transpiring there. So to talk about a brother named Robert Griffin III, who can honestly say that everything he's proven and everything he's accomplished has been on merit and has been on performance. He's the one out there taking the licks. He's out there taking the hits. And he's done something via sports because we know how huge the Redskins are in the DMV, you know, the area, Maryland, Virginia, D.C.
Yep.
You know, they're huge. They're institutional in that particular environment. And even, you know, Doug Williams did his thing, you know, for that particular season.
Exactly.
They've never had anything near what Robert Griffin III has brought that city to the point where individuals stated, you know, through sports, he's brought the city together because now they can all communicate it. They don't care what it is. So when he was lambasted by virtue of being a cornball and by virtue of who he dates, which are personal.
Somebody's
political leanings are, which is personal. You know, I mean, it was just idiocy and lunacy, and then you find out that the people you think are representing and protecting you are, you're just one false word away from getting bounced out of their particular sentence. And
yep.
then you see the fear factor from their remaining members because they're realizing they're on the loose, and it could be a situation they shut that whole situation down because for far too long they've been over the top with a
mm-hmm.
lot of topic subjects I mentioned. Like one would be Velma with the
yep.
Saints.
That's right.
You know, where he basically stood on his own merit and ground, but because he didn't bow down to Massa and show up to, you know, to get lambasted by Goodell, he stood on his own dime. He's been proven to be right and vindicated. So
exactly.
they get more at situations right than wrong, but as far as Parker is concerned, he played himself as, you know, he's going to be this Mr. Black. He's representing the entire
That's
culture.
Right.
Stokely Carmichael, you know, MLK, and Malcolm X combined in terms of his journalism, and he made the most idiotic, race-baited statement that had a Caucasian made that, we would all be trying to lynch him.
There you go.
Well, my question to you guys, I want you guys to answer this question. Why is it he's being sued? Why are they going to court for them and the Geiger?
It's going to happen, Gary. One day they're going to get too clever.
They're pushing that envelope.
And they're going to end up getting their asses sued. You know, they've been pulling this clown shit for the longest
right.
time. And if you notice, Scream and A. Smith backed up. And now, they knew what they did was messed up because not only did they wait a couple of days before issuing their statement that Rob Parker was suspended, they reran the whole segment that he was on where he said exactly what he said. So if you were so full of remorse and thinking about some sort of journalistic timber in how you handled all of this, we know right now that you're bogus. You're about as real as a $3 bill because you put it out there again on Front Street to get more response and more ratings. You didn't get the response you were hoping for.
The question is, why are the African-American players, this is what I don't get about African-American players, why are they
right.
Why are you swallowing that shit? I agree, Gary. We talk about this all the time. How are you going to sit there and listen to this shit? How are you going to see how they directly were responsible with Mike Vick helping his ass get to federal prison for what he did? If there was no ESPN there, who knows how far it would have gone. But the bottom line was Mike made himself vulnerable by holding up for his boys. But that's not the point. That these guys see this all the time, and they got to be thinking, well, you know, I feel for the brother, but I ain't gonna get caught like that. I'm too cool for that.
Well,
and as soon as those microphones come there, they run to these bimbos and say the stuff that they say, and then they wonder why they got screwed at the drive-thru after the effect.
Well,
no,
he's right, because what happened to LeBron James 3 years ago? See, if I was LeBron James, I'd be all up in their mind. Well, they asked LeBron James to do the show, the decision. Anyway, the show, the decision, what they do? They crucified him. That's not right.
You cannot hide, and Fred, I want to bounce you cannot hide the resentment that sits in the press box. I say this firsthand because I've seen it. I've been in that press box with these straight-up crackers who see these guys, and if you remember the scenario in A Soldier's Story when Adolf Caesar's character is talking about Memphis and how he hits that ball, you know, it's the same kind of self-hate that comes out of them. They resent the talent. They resent that they make the money that they do. They resent that they have to indulge them to get what they have to get so that they can make a living off of it. So in all of this, we ultimately come to an entity like the Mouse that does these for lack of a better word, they gorge on themselves because they think it's about them. And they think that they are the story now. The story isn't Robert Griffin III throwing for 300 yards and running for 100 in Washington beating Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. It's how they decide they want to talk about this, how they view him, how they want to present him so that they can set his black ass up to take him down as soon as some sort of fallibility makes itself known. And that's the thing that these Stephen A. Smiths and all these other idiots who roll with this, who collect that paycheck, you know, can't say, makes them journalists because they roll with this, they sign their little contracts knowing that they're going to be puppets, essentially, and for all the stuff that they want to talk about and how they want to supposedly embrace debate, they are as real as a $3 bill. Cowboy Reggie's back in the mix here. What's up, Cowboy, and what do you want to throw into the pot, please?
The thing that really angers me that, okay, Jemele Hill, remember when she got suspended?
Yeah.
She wrote an article about that.
Mm-hmm.
And Skip Bayless, Pelosi, and all these white supremacists that are out there, and Jay Mariotti, they say anything they want. And I was shocked when Bob Ryan, remember Bob Ryan used to have a thing against the Williams sisters. I mean, every time he looked, he had some craziness. And Bill, what was the guy from Philadelphia, that the pedophile, the child molester,
mm-hmm.
that worked? Bill, what was the other name?
Bill Conlon,
kind
of a bit.
Conlon.
Mr. White Sox himself on a sports reporter. You know, I mean, it just amazed me again, especially that white swimmer Skip Bayless. And Stephen A. Smith standing there eating cheese and grin with this clown. And now you notice how they have the different celebrities come on there?
Oh, sure.
I mean, they have
it's all
Randy
about ratings,
and all these other people.
That's all it is.
Yeah,
they can't increase their demographic, though. The demographic's not really growing.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't understand why, you know, say a organization such as what we talk about here has so much respect. So then you have to create this alleged black dude. You know what I mean? That's allegedly going to create this black thing. Then they will praise themselves. That's why I love this show, because we talk about the issues, and they'll give 5 minutes to a subject matter, then run off and then start talking about Tebow again. So the whole conceptual design is they have not been able to push the envelope on that demographic at all. It's not increasing ratings. It's not pushing anything. And one of the most difficult things to do, because those who are in TV programming know this, is with these 24-hour networks, it's so extremely difficult to find 7-day-a-week, 24-hour fresh programming.
Exactly.
So you put them on loop, and you keep recycling the same particular story matters, because you're hiring ex-journalists to be TV people, which they think they're like, well, you know, look, this is great to television person.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen what the kind of stuff that's on television nowadays? Have you seen some of the garbage on MTV?
Yep.
Being on TV is not
there's
no
a,
real...
Yeah. Eric, there's a word for it, and it just popped in my head, and it's incest. This whole aspect of how this particular story morphed from off the sports radio stations and piped into the mainstream news, the entertainment aspect that the Mouse has, because their acronym actually means Entertainment and Sports Programming Network.
Uh-huh,
so
correct.
The incestuous nature of how all of this morphed together and how they screw each other for this. Because remember, You know, Rob Parker's not the first one to end up on the shitty end of the stick.
He won't be the last either.
And he won't be the last. That's exactly right. But, you know.
Wasn't that Brother Smith? Didn't he once have his own show on that particular
network?
Yeah, but Mike, real quick, up in D.C. and Maryland, man, the major 105, the fan, also 16 with Bart Arrington, I mean, they were so livid that I guarantee a campaign went on, and that's why his black behind got suspended, because even in Baltimore, man, they were talking about this story. And they
actually had
black folks taking over the airways and giving the black Willie Lynch and all these other stories. I'm like, Negroes, why don't y'all get your own damn network and talk about it rather than feeding into these guys and have their ratings and their advertising.
You know, I gotta pop back on something, because Eric said something that jarred something in my mainframe, and it had to do with Oprah. I don't know if you guys remember this, but as Oprah was flinging as much influence as possible, she had a set to with the brothers down in Texas.
Yeah,
you know, Texas
the
is a meat producing state. That's right. Remember
hamburger
that?
Gate.
We were
hamburger
talking
gate.
About the drugs and stuff like that, and Oprah was talking about how she wasn't handling the meat shit. And then these folks down in Texas was like, "What you mean, Willis?" What they really meant to say, "Oh,
nah,
bitch, please,
you mean, nigga."
Exactly, because it was a bitch please moment, and she had to change her stance on the meat issue. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've been following this for a while. This whole genetic engineering shit started out in the late 90s, 1997, at the University of Saskatchewan. But having said all of that, this whole idea of cloning, you know, eventually not having the labels, you know, properly labeled for, you know, genetically altered meat or whatever they want to call it.
Right, GMO.
You know, when Oprah ran into all of this stuff, you know, it reminded me of the Chris Rock segment in his monologue where he talked about we could have a white person who's disabled on crutches and all that other old thing and whatnot, and he wouldn't trade places with me for 5 minutes, and I'm rich. So this is the bitter truth of what Gary focused on early on and what Fred and everybody else in the panel here has contributed to, because they realize, you know, if they can count, if we look at this from the from what Eric has always said every time he's come on, and the melanin aspect of this, from the genetic side of all of this, you know, if we add up our Punnett squares here, it's never going to add up in favor of the recessive side of things. So folks have got to get taken the fuck out.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
I guess I must be the only one on this show that doesn't watch or listen to ESPN, because when we were getting into all that, I was thinking, who the heck?
You better than I am, brother. I tell you, that's saying a lot. That's good.
You know, remember, I have a fellow
below you. I'm just a few percentages below you, Fred.
I have a fellow alumnus on ESPN that I don't watch. Mm-hmm. So, you can imagine what some of these other dirt balls like Stuart
Scott.
I lost all respect for him. I fell for him when he came down with cancer and all that kind of stuff. But I miss that gentleman when he was a stringer at a A&T FAMU game, and he didn't realize where he was and who he was talking to.
Mm-hmm.
The person from FAMU basically told him, go to hell on down to Chapel Hill, you know, because, hey,
yep,
we don't need you here. We got coverage from here.
That's right.
All the way down the East Coast. And he was young with ESPN at the time, but part of the way
yep.
he climbed up the ladder was doing the same kind of stuff these other morons do. And the thing, you know, if you ever want to set Fred off, just yell at him. And if you ever listen to ESPN, whether it's TV or radio or a combination thereof, what
mm-hmm.
do they do? Who can say the most, the fastest, the loudest? It can be the biggest bunch of crap and nonsense.
Exactly.
The weakest content.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I just got to where I couldn't listen to it. You know,
sure.
When my associates used to sit up and listen, I said, no, you need to get you some earphones, because I can't sit over here and listen to that nonsense.
That's right.
Because
uh-huh.
it's the same stuff over and over. You know, I had the utmost respect for Billy Packer because of his relationship with Winston-Salem State back
mm-hmm.
in the day with Cleo Hill and that sort of thing. But his son, total maggot. Total
mm-hmm.
maggot.
Yep,
because he think nothing happened before the ACC. Not understanding, you know, the ACC didn't really grow until they got all the guys from the CIAA.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the kind of people that are out there perpetuating all this other nonsense. You know, people have no clue who Eric's dad is or was. You know,
that's right.
How many of those guys who sit up there and talk all that noise, who could first ever played on a national championship team, who ever play for a true Hall of Fame coach, play with true
uh-huh.
Hall of Famers who aren't in the Hall of Fame because
right.
they went to HBCU,
Fred.
That kind of thing. So, you know, these are the kinds of things that we're battling out there and talking or listening to these morons. And I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, RG3 got how many millions of dollars, you know, Heisman Trophy.
There you go.
Endorsements galore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wearing a Dongolewi tribe Sudanese
mm-hmm.
hairstyle.
There you go.
You
that's
what
right.
I'm saying?
That's
I mean,
exactly
that's
right.
Straight
who,
out of
who
the
gentleman who criticized him have no clue who he is.
That shows that shows what a coon Parker is, because he's not even looking at the obvious stuff. See, you know, you can't ignore the hair. I know. I covered NFL football with dreads down my back. I was the only one in the press box like that. And you know,
I got a picture of it too, the Super Bowl.
They look at me like, you know, well, you know, go through customs. You know, you don't look like a journalist. Well, what does one look like? You know, and then they back the fuck up. The bottom line here.
Well, it's
is
always
that,
the fear of that, man. Go ahead, man. That's a whole subject,
but,
man. We start getting into the hair,
yeah.
but yeah, go ahead.
Oh,
bro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
but no,
but
lot,
I,
that
was,
a lot.
I love
but,
that.
But Eric,
I'm still singing
but,
my
but,
Fred
but you know,
song.
Eric,
you're
right as rain on all of this. You know, this kid has done the work. And
please.
I don't begrudge him. And I don't begrudge him
get
one
his.
Dime. That's exactly get what you go get yours. But see, now ESPN has to shift their focus. As Gary was saying, when LeBron got his ring, they realized they had to change their methodology now, so they couldn't attack him again and say what a loser or a failure he was. So now Cam Newton is slowly becoming one of the targets du jour, along with his brother Colin Kaepernick out in San Francisco. Because you got to remember, Colin was not supposed to be the starting quarterback. This is the Doug Williams scenario 2.0. You know,
hey,
you had your little honky hero, in Alex Smith. And he was supposed to be, you know, the godsend and all of that. And Coach Harbaugh nursed him and, you know, guided him through it. And, you know, he patted him on the back and whatnot. And all of a sudden he's a quarterback.
Singleton was the bad guy, but continue.
Exactly.
Singletary.
You know,
yeah, he was a trip. Singletary was a trip.
So now you got Kaepernick.
He's still chewing on that ass on the sideline. Singletary was a little extra, you know, but he was grandstanding with how he did Vernon Davis, too, but that's another story.
This is true. But
Vernon Davis is
first love.
But having said all of this now, we got to focus on this, brother, because when the season started,
they already had their
headlines written. They knew who their heroes were going to be. They had designated them as such. And now into the mix, these brothers come in there and they
killing
mess up the whole apple cart. You know, no one other than us, and I'll say this because I was the first to recognize Griffin as a freshman down in Baylor before these fools even drove up. I knew he was going to be good. ESPN said, well, he was an athlete. He was a track guy. That was
but that. Remember, Mike,
I mean,
on that other program that you used to rap on, man, I waxed poetic on him just by watching the workout. You know,
exactly.
When you know them when you see them. And the other thing that we want to mention all these things too about, you know, these brothers, you know, now that, you know, the people on the brothers and sisters are in the West Side, they start calling Kaepernicker. But that's another story. And they start going in on him on his tats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he should look like a parole dude, even though he has a 4-point GPA out of Reno, University
exactly.
of Reno. Wow. That's another story.
And his mama spoke up for him.
Andrew Luck. Let's talk about Luck. See, Luck followed, you know, the brother coaches Caldwell when he was over at with the Colts, and then he followed Dungy. Caldwell followed Dungy. Then they brought in Arians, who's now the coach. But Arians was under Mike Tomlin at Pittsburgh.
That's right.
But what got Luck prepared was he played for a brother at Stanford.
That's right.
In his senior year.
People forgot all that.
And
conveniently
my boy Russell Wilson now. You want to see
that? Well, that's what I'm talking about. But how they did what they did is the issue, because Russell Wilson came in there and bogarted the job. He was given the opportunity, and he made it clear, I'm the bad motherfucker around here. I'm sorry. It's my job. And Matt Flynn couldn't handle that. You know, he got his check. He's standing on the sideline holding his clipboard. But everybody in that huddle knows when Russell Wilson's calling the play, it's his huddle. Shut up, listen to the play, and execute. He's done the work.
About this.
And they balling for him.
Is that Stanford is the only college in America that has three black coaches.
That's right. Dennis Green.
Mm.
Three,
his brother, and I forget
who
the other one is. Dan Willingham, thank you. Three, and won, and they won with each one of them. All of them made their bowl games, et cetera, et cetera.
And
they graduated.
And Bill Walsh was the cat that ensured he put them down, that created, who put Ray Rhodes and a lot of other brothers down by creating that black coaching culture when he was with the Niners. Walsh started that clinic, which put Dennis Green and sprung them onto the particular scenario
because he
had that conscientiousness, you know, coming from that Silicon Valley zone. Where it's all about your ability and your ability to execute in your science more than anything else. And see, that's what Harbaugh knew. Harbaugh knew that Kaepernick was going to be his guy, his imagery, what he wanted. That's why he drafted him second last year.
Right. Yeah. And they questioned his drafting. And I knew why they were questioning him. But the bottom line in all of this is that when the season started, everybody across the board felt San Francisco was a strong contender to go to the Super Bowl, even before Kaepernick was in the equation. But now that he's in, his black ass is under the microscope because they know that if he gets there from an image standpoint, and let's remember, we just talked about images in the beginning of the show.
Obama second.
They don't want Colin Kaepernick to get that Disney commercial. You know, I had to really think about if Doug Williams got the commercial or not when he won the Super Bowl, but Colin's not supposed to get that commercial. That was Alex Smith's commercial. Remember, when Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl and Dexter Jackson was the MVP, who got the Disney commercial? Brad Johnson, the white quarterback. He went to Disney
yep.
World. Dexter should have went to Disney World, and this whole family should have gone to Disney World. So we know what's going on here. Kaepernick is going to be scrutinized more than a lot of the others because he's got the biggest car in the lot right now, and he's got the shortest path to get to wherever it's going to be, whether it's New Orleans,
but
this year, I forget
Mike,
which
way.
Yeah.
You know what, Mike?
Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice won the MVP. He ain't going to do that either.
That's true.
But,
true.
You know what transpired and where it all got nuked was when mm-hmm. Rex Ryan refused to bow down to how they had Tebow set up for it all.
That's
by bringing
exactly
him
right.
to the biggest metropolitan area and trying
that's
to
right.
make that creation sort of, he rode the train with Sanchez, the brother, you
he
know,
did.
The Hispanic brother,
that's
you know
right.
what I mean, representing, you know, the Southern California, you know, set.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
so
most
what's
definitely.
Happening with the rise
yeah.
of these other brothers, you know, RG, you know, Robert Griffith III, use his real, you know, use his full name. I'm tired of the RG
mm-hmm.
three buzz. His name
yeah,
is Robert Griffith III.
He's
pronounced
man.
The fools,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you have, you know, Colin Kaepernick, you know, I mean, you know, you can't. You know, who was adopted in Wisconsin and then was
mm-hmm.
raised by a Caucasoid family in
yep.
Turlock, you know, California, you know,
yep.
and then you know, right down the road from where I'm at. And here's an individual that how come he was not called, you know,
sure.
the cornball brother. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? There is
that's
one,
exactly
right.
right.
You know what I'm saying? And
that's
then
exactly
guys,
right.
The third, and the guy's
mm-hmm.
going to talk about who he's communicating and cohabiting with. I mean, bro,
mm-hmm.
come on
yep.
with that. I mean,
that's the other egregious part about it. It had nothing to do with football.
Nothing.
Thank
I mean,
you.
Who cohabiting?
Care
hey,
about
hey,
who
Mike.
He's dating?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
what
yeah.
I mean,
and
so
Mike,
what?
But here's my question, Mike, to the panel. If RG3, mm-hmm. should he cut his dreads for endorsement? Because I've been told by many people up in D.C. that, guess what, if he cut his dreads, he would get far more endorsement from corporate America. And
well,
that's
he has a ton
thing.
Of them right now. He's got Subway. He's got Adidas. He's
they
got Major Name Ology.
About
and,
my
and see,
corporate endorsement.
See, I like
I'm just throwing
like
it out there. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I like to speak to the myth of that.
Because please, go ahead. Those,
I want to speak to the myth of that because, see, that's a mythological
please,
thing.
Brother.
Talking to someone who comes on his radio show in any way and others, very outspoken, very to the point, and has over 300 major organizations as a business for affiliates.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, which, again, stuns a lot of individuals from a monetization standpoint. Well, how can you do that? That has nothing to do with any of the criteria if you represent it. And it also
mm-hmm.
has to represent with your particular demographic because that mythological thing is gone. But as long as you're trapped there, you can't reach that because if you have a Dixie cup consciousness towards business, you're going to have a Dixie cup consciousness to receive. RG,
you're right.
The only thing I fear is God. He's in the nation capital. He's rolling
mm-hmm.
in. He's running big time. And he's picking and choosing what he wants as opposed to not having enough. He has
exactly.
buku, and he's not coming out of a major market area, quote-unquote L.A., New York, what have you, and he's got more than, say, Sanchez. He's got more than, say, what they were trying to do for Tebow. Manning
yep.
is up there. He's got more than Eli, and he's
yep.
in New York playing all those particular role patterns. So that's a myth because he's got that attraction. And the other part in terms of what you're trying to do, there's no greater spokesperson ever in terms of creating an endorsement concept than Michael Jordan. So if people want to pick toys and figure you got to be light-skinned and light-eyed to get anything, Jordan crushed that.
Mm-hmm.
RG3 is crushing that. Those are myths.
Mm-hmm. But
amen.
Eric's very succinct words notwithstanding, the Parker incident speaks to a bigger problem because we know
his wallet.
Yeah, we know the next coon down the pike is going to get skinned just as easily. And here's the incestuous nature coming to light.
Right.
We see how they do the athletes themselves. But you know, in-house, when that tape was played back and then was played on the air again, they knew somebody's ass was getting skinned. And when I say they, I mean the Jermell Hills and Screaming A. Smiths and all them other fools that go up there and front that ESPN bullshit. So they knew his black ass was going to be hoisted on his bone, petard and whatnot, and put out there on a pole and skewered like one of Vlad Dracul's victims and shit. He knew it too. So ultimately, we see that when a Rob Parker disappears from the ozone, you know, now maybe he'll be back, in a lower capacity.
Yeah.
Remember, Jemele Hill was out there on Front Street for a while, and then she was just another next door nigga, and she got put out in the hinterland as well. And when you I say it just like that, because when you act ignorant, you need to fit the script. And I'm calling
Correct.
It what it is. I'm not
Correct.
Trying to be nice about this. I'm calling
Correct.
It what it is. Rob Parker
yep.
acted like a nigga. He got treated like a nigga, and more's the pity for his ass. But my heart bleeds
yep.
Coca-Cola. He deserved it. And all those
yep.
assholes there deserve it, because when things are done of an egregious nature to black people, specifically black athletes, who they get their money off of, you can't
True.
Tell me that in those production meetings somebody can't
True.
Speak the fuck up and say, can we handle this with some sensitivity? Can we treat these people like human beings? No, because your desire is to make money off of me. You figure as long as I'm making money, you're no more or less a carpetbagger than those same motherfuckers that was rolling through Atlanta after Gone with the Wind. That's the difference between the Elmer Smiths and all the brothers who were writing for us when we didn't have a voice. They understood it was a bigger burden on them. It was more about them, and it wasn't about just them. They had to handle everything knowing that they were thinking big picture. These so-called journalists that come out now, they don't think or speak for us because they're literal carpetbaggers for their own agendas. And when they realize that the big picture is they're not looked at any differently than that gangbanger out there, it's an embarrassment. But they decided long ago what their fate was going to be, and they resigned themselves to it because they still go along with it.
Can I ask you a question real quick, Mike, just pretty much the similar subject?
Yes, sir.
What complexion is the coach of the first freshman to win the Heisman Trophy winner?
Kevin Sumlin.
Yeah, is he a brother?
Oh, last time I looked, he was a brother.
Yeah, last I checked,
but of course,
you know, where's the buzz on that?
But of course, we don't want to have that conversation.
Okay, so far,
how are you, Tom? Oh, yeah. We don't want to have that conversation. Yes, indeed. I'm sure they'll try to put his business on Front Street, but now that Eric started this, you know, think about how the conferences are changing. Gary was very upfront on this. He was very Negro Domus in talking that we were going to have these super conferences. They were coming down the pike, and now they realize there's so much money involved that they might actually have to hire some qualified brothers for the jobs, too, because they want to continue to get paid. You know, Kevin Sumlin quietly from the University of Houston to Texas A&M moving to arguably the most powerful conference in all of college sports.
Yep, and beat the big bad Alabama. Yeah.
And coming in the door smacking Miss Ann upside the head and beating Alabama. So we know, we don't know if he'll get saving money one day, but we know they know that they're out there. They can't make the excuses anymore. The Gene Chizik's of the world will still get recycled. You know, the Bobby Petrinos, those punk asses, they'll still get recycled. And for all the bullshit that they want to say about Nick Saban, Nick Saban's full of shit because when he came into the pros, he bitched up because he couldn't handle the heat down in Miami.
He did.
So let's be real on that.
Hey, Mike, what they saying? Sylvester Croom was too black to be the coach at Alabama.
His own alma mater treated him like
a
redheaded stepchild.
Hey,
that's right.
And don't remember, don't have a white wife and coach in SEC like Coach Gill. Oh, no, you got a Pelican? No, you got to go. I'm sorry, we can't have you here. And
that's
a
right.
fact. I'm not
well,
just throwing
and,
out there.
And
like,
Coach, and Coach Strong in Louisville managed to sign up, re-up for 8 more years because they realize
coming to the ACC.
We're going to need some of these brothers, but it's too late. I don't want to deviate from where we started on this, so I want to get a last licks from everybody here. As we go into our final word here, first of all, Cowboy, I know you've been bopping in and out. You got an update score for us, please, with Valdosta State and WSSU?
Scored, I heard Valdosta State was 21-17. Like I said, it won't look good.
Right. That was Eric's score. All right, so no update from the third quarter.
28-7, 4:30, and running on the clock.
All right, 28-7, so... Doesn't look like it's going to be a good day for Ram Nation, but let's give them props. They got there.
Well, they got there.
We know the odds that they fight against to get there, so let's give props to Ram Nation where it's due and all that. So
they got about five brothers on Valdosta State that should be in Rams gear, but that's another story.
There you go. That's right.
They picked the worst day to play the worst game.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, look, let's get to final statements here. First of all, Cowboy Reggie, as always, thank you for coming in and throwing some good stuff in the pot. There's so much more we could go on to, brother, but we're going to have to cut it off here. But, Reggie, your last licks, if you would, please.
I just want to say thank you for allowing me to come in and out, guys. Keep up the great work. I'm a stand down, Coach. Too many great people out here, so that's my licks. Thank you and support the show by financial means.
Shameless plug, please.
I'm 1450 WTM Radio with the Professor Tony Kyle, the Hall of Famer Coach Lou Anderson, Glenn Brown, and some guy named Cowboy Reggie. And G-Man, your boy Big Gary did the pick segment today. He was chicken butt. Big G came gangster today.
He, Mr. Biggs is always gangster, straight up on that. Professor
Old
Fred.
Player.
Yes, indeed. Professor Fred, your time in the barrel, please, sir. Your last words.
You mentioned about the way it is in the press box. You have no clue. But my shameless plug is, if you want to know about some guys who really fought the funk back in the day, Sam Lacy, Wendell Smith, right on down the line, the guys who covered the CIAA, who covered the integration of baseball, who made it possible as SIDs for us to, for HBCUs to be who and what we are. That's all covered in the Black College Sports Encyclopedia. If I get your order by Wednesday, you will have it for Christmas.
There you go.
And just as a parting shot, chew tobacco, chew tobacco, chew tobacco, spit. We all ram, so hey.
There you go.
Congratulations.
What's the what's the website for the encyclopedia, Fred?
BlackHeritageReview.com.
Mm-hmm.
All one word, BlackHeritageReview.com for the folks
out
there.
Right.
Okay.
There you go.
At this point, I would advise you to order it online because we check that after tomorrow, we'll be checking about every 4 hours. So we'll get everything in the mail we get.
We will be doing just that. Eric, as always, my brother, come on in. It's your last words, if you will.
I just want to keep it on the proactive and just say that we are embarking on just tremendous times. And despite all the flags and all the tragedies that have gone on, you know, it's always been forecasted that he who endures to the end. So by enduring, this has been an endurance test of all kinds. People have faced all kinds of financial challenges, familial chances. They've lost loved ones. It's been a great calling and calling. But all ancient cultures, as a person who's traveled the world and who's, you know, embraced some of these cultures and looked at some of these ruins and made it a point to know, everyone and these institutions, of these great higher learning institutions, all pointed to this day and time that we live in now. So it is one of the greatest times in terms of the societal effects and things that transpire. We've weathered that as well. Nothing can break you at this point. So just hold strong, hold to the force, and there's going to be some, you know, amazing perspectives and times. It's all about elevating one's consciousness on how you define it, not how I define it, on how you define it. And all I try to do is just, you know, shake loose and do a little furniture rearrangement and hopefully help you go forward in your thought process, because it's always layered. But, you know, I always love this particular venue where we can have these kind of communications. And while we mention all these things that have transpired, there's been no greater American than the African American in terms of what they've done to this country, with looking for return at all, and still are coming up and still are measuring forth and still want to see it work out. And that's only a God force that can make that happen. So with that being said, you know, happy holidays.
Thank you, my brother. Gary, Mr. Biggs, it's your turn in the pot, brother.
Okay. This week in Dallas, Fort Worth Airport, a 12-year-old disabled girl,
I saw that.
By the TSA.
Mm-hmm.
They proceeded to tell her mother they can't go anywhere near her while she can get examined. This girl, what happened was, she fed her horses before she went to the airport.
Sure.
So she had a fertilizer on a wheelchair on her hands.
Jesus.
They detained her, and when they got on an airplane, okay, until her father came and explained to her what happened. mean, this is a crying day. This is a 12-year-old was traumatized by DNA agents.
I agree, brother. You know, I saw that item that you just mentioned, and the lack of discretion and common sense on the part of the TSA was deplorable. But, you know, anybody having to go into an airport knowing the kind of nonsense that they've been subjected to and the level in which they hire some of these people, you know, that's a two-drink conversation at the very least. I'm sorry that the young lady had to go through all of that, and you're right. You know, the images of that, that's also terrorism in my mind. Gary, a shameless plug for your show, please.
Well, we're taking a month vacation, but the Grandma Code will be back on January 12th at 1 p.m. on blogradio.com.
Mm-hmm.
We will do a tribute to Martin Luther King Jr. and the accomplishment of the civil rights movement in the 60s and 70s.
Most definitely. And thank you, my brother, as always, for your input. You know, as I close out today, it's a lot to have to swallow. You know, I liken this to a leaky faucet. I say leaky faucet because when that faucet's leaking during the day, you know, you see the drip, drip, drip popping out and whatnot, and maybe you're not as conscious of it and it doesn't bother you. But at night, when you're trying to get your body back to rest, when you're trying to get your emotional scales back to balance, that drip, drip, drip becomes more resounding. And that's what it's like sometimes to live as we live in this country. You know, we know the pressure is never turned off. Even if it trickles just a little bit, you know, that little bit continues and continues to some point where maybe things get a little unhinged and then the drip becomes a little more steady until finally it gets past the point of no return and it bursts. We've seen several of our loved ones, relatives, die internally from that kind of damage. We've seen them subjected to negotiating those minefields of the crack-strewn sidewalks and playgrounds that Eric alluded to early on. We see how sometimes we even try to ignore them because we see the disgust in it and we see the intent of what's being done. Like Fred just mentioned when he says, I don't bother looking at them fools on the mouse. You know, I turn that crap off because they're just talking a bunch of junk. It's not the coping mechanisms that make us tick. It's the overall understanding that in the big picture, we're not going out like that. There is a collective spirit of we're not going out like that from everybody who comes on this panel because they all realize it's about evolving to a higher place, somewhere that maybe some folks can't grasp, but that elevation has always been the desire of our species from the time Homo sapiens came into existence. The takeoff on spiritual levels and levels that go beyond that sometimes doesn't have a foundation of a talk show to work with. Sometimes it's the laboratory of the mind when you sit down and put your thoughts on paper or compose music or dribble a basketball, however it manifests itself. There is something going on that's out there that folks will not put a label on because it can't have a label put on it. That God force, however you want to say it, it manifests in all of us. And I think the best way to always say thank you for those gifts that you have is not to let the valve continue to drip, 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 but to use your gifts as best as you can. You say thank you by utilizing your talents to the max. And sometimes you need a little guidance to get along there. Sometimes you get lost along the way, but ultimately to stay focused and look to evolve is always what all of us as human beings seek to do once we realize the direction we need to go in. Now, having said that, we will see you next Wednesday with our Hump Day special. For everybody involved here, for Lady Francine down in Louisville, for my colleagues Cowboy Reggie, for Gary Norris Gray, for Eric Siderwhite, for Professor Fred Whitted, and for Sonic Cheryl and Celestial Walton Kelly, Soul Street Radio in the Raw. We're out.
Yeah, yeah, you got sticky fingers. Yeah. Worldwide. Going across modern waters. It's the Onyx. It's the Onyx. It's the Onyx. World up. It's the Mad. World up. We in another zone.